We'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements, and then I'll open us up with prayer. You'll see in the bulletin where Cassie has put a note here that immediately after the service this morning, we would like to have a brief meeting. That includes anyone who is helping with VBS this year. We'd also like to say a prayer over this year's VBS and all who are working with the kids who will attend. Decorations will also be out soon this next weekend for those wanting to decorate rooms. We'll discuss all this in the meeting. So if you are helping with VBS, just meet down front here for just not long. It won't take long after the morning worship service. We had 28 in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to encourage everyone to invite people. If you're not participating, we certainly will welcome you to that. Choir practice at 5:15 this afternoon. Next Sunday is Father's Day, and also next Sunday is when we'll start VBS. Be in prayer for that. It's going to be an exciting time. I don't know how they got to sign up in that hard ground out there, but they did, and it looks nice. And I was also just mentioning, I've had two or three people mention that how nice the grounds look and all. And in case you didn't know, Ray Calloway is doing the mowing here, and if y'all know him or see him, just thank him, because he is really doing, as far as we can tell, he's doing an excellent job, even in the dry weather, you know, that keeping it mowed and looking nice on that. Any other announcements? Birthdays this week are, yes, Brittany has one.
Jan.
Which Jan?
Jan.
Don't scare me. But thank you.
Jan Hall. Larry McDaniel.
Larry.
Mary.
Got you last week. We're going to hit you again. Heavenlier. I think she's in the back. Yeah, she's in the back right now.
And Mary Schwartz, I believe.
Mary's is in April.
No, Miss Mary Ann Collins. That's all. I think that was a Mary. We getting the names mixed up.
Any others, y'all? Harold, will you come lead us in?
Why don't you go ahead and look? All right, Tim, in the key of C, you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
As we open with prayer today, I want to encourage you if you can, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We have a Bible study or a message that Brother Tim brings, and we take time to pray, and we hand out a prayer list. And I encourage you to come to our prayer meeting if you can. Today we do want to, the Southern Baptist Convention is meeting, I believe, is it in Los Angeles? New Orleans. In New Orleans. I don't know why I was thinking California, but in New Orleans this week. And as always, there'll be some important topics coming up, discussed and all. And we need to remember our convention, especially during this week, as they meet and provide where we need to, as a convention, the route that we'll take and all on that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. I thank you for the past Sunday school hour, Lord, and as we discuss God's word during it, Lord. And Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that as Brother Tim stands before us, Lord, that we encourage and lift him up, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord, and that we have come with our hearts ready and prepared to worship the one true God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I do just want to lift up our leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention and the delegates that are attending this week in New Orleans. There are several important matters, Lord, I know that will be brought up and all, Lord. And I just pray for a spirit of unity, a spirit of allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct everyone that's there and everyone that will be making these decisions. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here we go.
Well, good morning again. Our call to worship is, this is the day. This is the day our Lord has made. Let's rejoice by standing up, smiling real big, and singing at the same time as loud as you can. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to sing it through two times.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
come, we'll sing first, second, and last verses. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Church of Jerusalem to have an explosion of converts, okay? And he said, well, how do I know it was the First Baptist? Because it was the only Baptist church there, so it had to be the first. I mean, and they were the only church that practiced baptism back then, so we knew it was the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. And so I invite you to pray with me, and then we'll just jump right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I pray that you bless the reading of it. God, I pray that you would just bar Satan from this place. Lord, help us to listen to your word intently. Lord, help us to not only hear, but to be doers of your word. Lord, we so often fail to realize that what we hear, we're supposed to act upon. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives this morning. God, you be glorified. Lord, let others see you through your word. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you think about missions or evangelism, a lot of times we think of that as something we do in another state, maybe even another nation or some other part of the world. Maybe we even think of it as a place that speaks a different language than what we do. That could be true anywhere, because if you go to Atlanta, you'll find about 139 different languages in the city of Atlanta. So we think about missions, but sometimes I think we get mixed up. Because missions is something we need to get back to doing in our local churches. Not just across the world or across the state or across our nation. And you say, well, why is it important? Well, even on our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about Matthew 28. Jesus said to go. Amen? Now, it's okay to give. We should give. It's okay to pray for missions or missionaries or evangelists, but Jesus didn't just say to give or to pray, he said to go. And a lot of times we forget about that part, or maybe we don't forget about it. We try to justify our giving, we try to justify our praying so that we don't have to be the ones who have to go. But Jesus commands us to go. We all know the passage. But as I mentioned earlier, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, I'm not sure if it's going to be on the screen or not, Paul wrote these things. He said, these things are written for our admonition. In other words, things that are written in God's word are for your benefit and for my benefit. Okay? We are to learn from them. We are to look at these as examples of how we should conduct our service towards God. Well, God's word is a pattern. It's a pattern for how we should live our lives and what we should do. So, as I said, we're going to take a whirlwind flight through the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts. So, you have your fingers ready. If not, they'll be on the screen, and I'll try to keep up. Because before we start reading, I want to ask 2 questions. What is the purpose of the church? Why is Wigham Baptist Church here? Not only is that a question, but we need to ask a personal question of ourselves, and that is, what is my purpose within Wigham Baptist Church? What am I to do? What are you to do? What are we to do? Because the church is not the building. Amen? We could literally go down to the community center right down the road and have church, right? Because it's not the building that makes the church, it's the people who are here, the people who are saved by the grace of God. We need to be on mission for God, and that's the title of my sermon today, is simply One Mission. What is the purpose of the church? How did the church grow like it did back in the book of Acts? And let's get started. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of what? The earth. What is your purpose? What is the purpose of Wigan Baptist Church? That purpose is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, bar none. It does not say in Matthew 28, and I know I skipped over it just for time's sake, but it doesn't say put a neon flashing sign out in front of your church. Amen? It doesn't say put a $20,000 LED sign. There's nothing wrong with that out in front of your church. But oftentimes the church has gotten so inward focused that we think that we can continue meeting here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and the community's just going to flock in here. Can I tell you that's not how the early church did it? The early church did it by going. They obeyed what Jesus said, and they went to the community around them. They went to the nations around them, the cities around them, and the gospel spread. Amen. Now, First Baptist Church of Jerusalem had one mission, and that one mission was to obey the Great Commission, Matthew 28. I want to start out this morning looking in Acts chapter 2. I know we read Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but I want to look at Acts chapter 2 verse 40 through 47, just to set the stage here for us. Acts chapter 2 verse 40. It says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all those who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one another with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church how often?
Daily.
Daily, those who were being saved. Man, when I look at that passage, I say, Lord, if we could only see that today. I think that's every pastor's dream, is to be able to stand up and see people just give their hearts and lives to the Lord. Because if that's not what he's looking for, he's in it for the wrong reason. Amen? The pastor, a preacher, evangelist, whoever should stand expecting God to touch somebody's heart with the gospel. But you know, we have a problem too, because sometimes we get so used to the, well, let's come to church, let's listen to the preacher, let's leave from here, and nothing's changed. Should that really be our attitude when we come to church? Because when I read the Bible, it tells me every time somebody had an encounter with God, their life was changed.
Amen.
We look at this and we say, Lord, why can't this happen today? Why can't 3,000 souls, if you look back at verse 41, why can't 3,000 souls be saved today? I look at it like this. God is still on his throne, okay? It is still God's will for men to be saved. It is still God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is still on his throne. It's the same God that saved 3,000 souls back here in Acts chapter 2. Is the same God that can do that today. But the question comes back to, are we as the church, not the building, the church, are we doing what God has commanded us to do with His Word? Are we taking it to the nations? So how did the church go from an Acts chapter 1 verse 8 church to an Acts chapter 9 verse 31 church, where within about 9 chapters we find a record of about 9,000 people coming to the Lord? Man, could you imagine that? How different America would be if we turned back to God and just simply did what He tells us to do. How did they go from 12 apostles to 120 meeting in an upper room to 3,000 and then 5,000 and then by 9,000 in the first 9 chapters? So as we go through these verses, I want us to look at just a couple things. Who were these people? How did they do it, and what did they do? How did the First Baptist Church, and I know y'all gonna go from here, that preacher's crazy, it wasn't the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. Okay, I'll give you that much. Let's start again with Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Look at verse 14 of chapter 1. It says, these all 12 continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. That is key, with one accord, in one place. In verse 42 of chapter 2, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. Can I stop right there for a minute? You can't have fellowship if you're by yourself. You can't have fellowship if you're by yourself. You can't have fellowship with God if you're not in His Word, if you're not praying. You can't have fellowship with Him, and if you're not in church, fellowshipping with other believers, you're just by yourself. But they continued in fellowship. They continued in breaking of bread. And in this case, that breaking of bread, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, but that's literally talking about the Lord's Supper and fellowship dinners. You say, why do Baptists like to eat? Because it's biblical, amen? Yeah, it's biblical. In chapter 2, verse 43, it says, fear came upon every soul. In chapter 2, verse 44, it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. In verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. In the temple. Remember, these here are talking about Jewish believers. What was the purpose of the temple? It was a place where they went to worship God. Much like we come to church today to do what? Our purpose should be to worship God. But they also came to hear the Word of God proclaimed and to learn God's ways. In verse 46, the second part of it says, breaking bread from house to house. Here again, that is the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. Think about this. It says, and they went from house to house. What have we quit doing as an association, as a church? We stand here and wonder why people ain't flooding in the doors. But the problem is we're not going out into the community. You see, we're not sharing the gospel. We're not fellowshipping with one another. We're not presenting the gospel through the Lord's Supper to other people. And I realize if you're not saved, you shouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper. But I'm talking about as you're presenting this, there are people who are saying, there's people who are listening, there's children who are watching, and they say, what is this about? And it is the opportunity to just share the gospel message with them. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, says they continued in praising God. They continued having favor with all the people, the saved and the lost. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In Acts chapter 4, Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. That was just the men. That was not the women and the children. And God is still on his throne. He's still the same God who can still save 5,000 people a day if he decides to, if we'll just be obedient. But we also have to remember in Acts chapter 4 that Peter and John were arrested. And they were threatened for preaching Jesus' name. You know, today it's getting to be like that. If you preach the word of God, if you preach about saving babies' lives instead of aborting them, you're going to be considered an outsider, and you're going to be threatened by the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, and whoever else they decide to put on you. In Acts chapter 4, verse 24, it says, when they had heard that, this is the church, they raised their voice to God with one, what? Accord. In verse 31 it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. When is the last time we attended a church meeting where we had prayer and you just felt like the hand of God was all over you? It's sad. But anytime we come together and worship God and pray, we should feel the presence of God right there with us as if the building is shaking. Because God has the power to move you. He has the power to break down them stone walls you built around you. He has the power to move nations, kings, rivers, mountains. He can do it all if we'll simply put our faith and trust in him. Verse 32 of chapter 4 says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Chapter 5, verse 12, it says, and they were all with one accord. In verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And chapter 5, verse 42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every, what? Every house. They did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. In Acts chapter 6, I mean chapter 8, verse 6, says the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. In chapter 8, further on, we see Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and in verse 35 through 38, it says, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and his eunuch went down into the water. And Philip baptized the eunuch. In Acts chapter 9, we know this as the conversion of Saul. Who did God change him to be? The Apostle Paul, right? Saul turned Paul. But listen, what when Jesus knocked Paul off, or Saul off that horse and blinded him and spoke to him from heaven, we realize that a major thing happened in Paul's life, because he went from a persecutor of the church to one who was presenting Jesus Christ to the church. in verse 20 of Acts chapter 9, it says, immediately Paul preached Christ in the synagogues that he, Jesus, is the Son of God. In verse 31, it says, then the churches throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were what? Multiplied. I said I was going to draw this to a conclusion by making observations. My first observation is that these were all people of prayer and supplication. Time and time again, we read that the people were people of prayer. You cannot have the power of God in your life if you're not a prayer.
Amen.
You can't. It is impossible. Jesus spoke these very words, and this is something that we're going to start doing as a church, or willing here soon. Before each service, we're going to get together and pray. Remember, committee, I told y'all about this, asked you about deacons. We're going to get together and pray, because Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, without me, you can do what? You can do nothing. And if we're not praying for the power of God to be in our lives, we're trying to do it in our own strength. And on my own and in my own strength, I can do absolutely nothing. These were people of prayer and supplication. What's the difference? Here's the difference. I'm just going to give you a brief definition. I can pray anywhere, anytime, any place. I don't have to have my eyes closed, so I can pray driving down the road. Please don't try driving down the road with your eyes closed. Amen. I'm just warning you. Don't do that. I can pray anywhere, anytime, any place, any situation. And these people of God were praying. They were prayers. They prayed for God to move. They prayed for their lost friends, their neighbors, whoever the leaders, whoever that may have been. But here's something else. Supplication is a little different, because supplication means that I get down on my knees and I bow before the Lord, because one day the Bible says everyone, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and confess God to the glory. Now here's the thing. When I'm in prayer, I can pray anytime, but when I'm in supplication, that means I'm begging God for something. Have you ever been in that place in your life? I've been for a loved one. You're at that place. When was the last time we were at that place where we prayed on our knees for God to save somebody? Spiritually. For our neighbors. For the people around with them. Cairo, Bainbridge, whatever south of us and whatever north of us. When was the last time we prayed that God would move among his church, his people, but also that others would become saved? They prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness in sharing the gospel. They prayed for boldness in the preaching of Jesus Christ. They pray that others would believe. They pray that God would move among the people. Why? Why did they do that? Because they have one mission. One mission. The Great Commission. Over and over again, we read those verses that we read through just a minute ago, when we see time and time again the people were at one accord. What does one accord mean? It means they all have the same purpose. Now see, here's the thing. You and I can have differences, right? You and I can have differences. You can have a different skin color. You can have a different language. You can have a different philosophy on certain things. But when it comes to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we need to be in one accord. They had one mission, and that was the Great Commission. And they were in accord because they were in unity. In John chapter 17, it's not on the screen. John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for himself. He was going to the cross. He prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples, but he also prayed for those who would come later. That's me and you. And he prayed that we would all be one. We would all be one. We would be in one accord. We would be in unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but also that we would be in unity with each other. Can I tell you the reason the church has lost a lot of its power is because we bicker too much between ourselves. We're not in unity with God. We're not in unity with Jesus Christ. We're not in unity with the Holy Spirit. We want to have things our way. And as long as we do that, we'll never accomplish unity that the church, the early church, demonstrated. I thought about this as being in unity in one accord. There was no bickering. There was no backstabbing. There was no gossiping. There was no division among the believers. There were no fights over the music, the carpet, the Sunday school teacher, or the preacher. Amen. In Mark chapter 3, verse 25, Jesus said these words. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Plain and simple. If we don't get it right in here, how is the Lord ever going to believe us out there?
Amen.
I'm just being honest. If we can't get it right here, the world looks at us and say, you're crazy. Why should I believe that? You can't even get along with your brother or sister in your own family, in your own church family. You see, these people are too busy telling others about Jesus to worry about somebody's clothes or somebody's appearance or social status. They were so focused on being witnesses for Jesus, they did not allow Satan to have time to devour. I've always heard this, an idle mind is the devil's playground. Can I tell you that is true in the church? If we're not busy about what God wants us to do, Satan will fill our minds full of things he wants us to do. And being divided against ourselves is the number one thing he's going to try to do. They were not only in one accord, but they also had all things in common because they had one mission. They all had a common past. What was that commonality between all of them? They were all lost and all needed a Savior. Amen. But they also had a common present because these that were in the church, they were saved, and they were all saved by what? By faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, in the blood of Jesus. That's what they trusted in. But they also had a common future. You know what that common future was? That they were all secure in the presence of Jesus. Because my Bible tells me that when I put my faith and trust in him, I am saved, sealed, and secure. Amen. I don't have to worry about Satan coming along and taking away what God has given to me. I don't have to worry about God taking it back from me, because once God gives it to me, Romans 11:29 says the gifts and calling of God are what? Irrevocable. In other words, God is never going to take back what he gives you. So if God has given you salvation, you can rest assured you are saved. They all feared God. They all held God in reverence and awe, but they also obeyed him. You see, that's another problem we have in our lives today, is we believe God, we love God, but we don't always obey him, do we? Jesus said time and time again, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Time and time again, Jesus spoke those words. So Jesus connected love with obedience. Can I say I love God if I don't obey Him? And I'm not going to obey Him if I don't love Him. So which side of the fence do we fall on? There's only one side or the other. There's not a middle. You see, these people not only feared God with obedience and awe and reverence, they also shared everything they had if someone had a need. Now, this doesn't mean that every single person sold everything they had and brought to them, and then just everybody divided it among themselves. It's not communal. It was if somebody truly had a need, that the church would meet that need. Somebody would give, somebody would do, somebody would sell property they had to be able to help that person who was in need. Man, that sounds like a church we want to be a part of. They didn't let their political parties divide themselves. Amen? Can I get a witness in a Baptist church?
Amen.
We all have different opinions, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is only one opinion, and that is Jesus Christ's opinion of Himself and God's opinion of Him, and that He is the Son of God and He is the only way to salvation. They didn't let their color divide them. They didn't let their language divide them. They didn't let their clothing, their hair, their tattoos divide them. Amen? Jesus was the common glue that held them all together through unity of the Holy Spirit working in them and through them. The one mission was to preach and teach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When is the last time you spoke? When is the last time you spoke their words to anyone outside the walls of this church? We wonder why our church doesn't grow. I'm not just talking about William Baptist Church. Do you know that 97% of the churches in Georgia? Now we're talking about the Bible Belt at Sunday school this morning. See, the Bible Belt, we believe, hey, everybody in the Bible Belt is saved, man. They've been to church. They have a respect. Can I tell you that 70% of the people in Georgia are lost and on their way to hell? 70% have no knowledge whatsoever that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus is the only way. They have never, ever heard the gospel message preached to them or taught to them about. That's an indictment on us. But their one mission was to preach and teach Jesus is the Son of God. They were too laser focused on accomplishing Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They didn't have time to argue, fuss, cuss, or fire. They were being a witness for Jesus Christ. And you know what? We should be as well. They were all together. Here again, time and time again, we read them verses and it says they were together. They were all together. Time and time again, it said they were together. Can I tell you, the church is supposed to be together. Because we can't encourage each other and build one another up if we're all divided against one another, if we're all in separate places. Now, I get there are sicknesses and stuff, and I understand, I believe God understands that. But here's what I believe. Everybody that could be together physically was. And I also believe that everybody that could be spiritually were together also. They had that time where they, in mission, they were together to accomplish God's will. They joined in their hearts, their minds, their soul, and their strength to accomplish the mission that Jesus gave them. And then, fifth, they all preached God's word. They all preached God's word time and time again. You didn't just see that it was the apostles that were preaching Jesus. It was everybody. The church was never meant to be a one-man show. I'm just going to tell y'all that up front if y'all didn't already know. Okay? Church never meant to be a one-man show. It's supposed to be a body of believers working together to accomplish the mission that Jesus gave us, and that is to reach the nations for Him. They all preached Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They preached Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible tells us in those verses, they preached in the temple, they preached to the crowds, they preached Jesus house to house and in every house. And they, what I'm called door-to-door evangelism. Y'all remember when that used to be a thing? They even went to individuals as the Ethiopian eunuch. They all went. Why? Because they all had one mission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Here's the thing. Jesus said, "Go," and what did the people do? They went. You know those words of Jesus are still true today? He says, "Go," and what do we say? Sometimes we say, "No. No. I don't like that person. No, they're different than I am. They speak a different language. They smell different. They whatever. They didn't come from the right side of the railroad track." Well, whatever it may be, we look at them and we look at ourselves and we say, "Lord, I know you said go, but I'm saying no." Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said, "Go." Sometimes we say no. Acts 1:8. This is what Jesus said. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Can I tell you the power that you need to accomplish what Jesus commands you to do? You already have if you're a child of God. You already have the power. He's already given it to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need anything else. You just need to be obedient. We need to be obedient. I need to be obedient. The early church had one mission, and that was to take and make the Great Commission their primary mission. That is what we have failed to do. Make the Great Commission our primary mission. We put it off. We put it to the back burner and say, "If I have time." No, they did it. They took God's word seriously. They took Jesus' word seriously, and they obeyed it. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says, "And the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved." Call me crazy if you want to. That's fine. I've been called worse. I can't help but believe that if everybody did what God commanded us to do, we would see a harvest of souls like we haven't seen in decades. I'm just crazy enough to believe that God is still on His throne. He's still in control. He still wants people saved, and He still wants us to be His witnesses. Can I tell you there's a part to this too that is going to include every one of you? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to what Paul writes. This same guy that got knocked off the horse, okay? Listen to what Paul says. It says, "From whom the whole body," he's talking about the church, us, you and me, those who are saved, "joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." What happens when everybody does what God's called them to do? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You want the church to grow, everybody's got to do their part. God has given you a gift He didn't give me. And maybe He's given me a gift He hasn't given you. Because he didn't make my eyeball where I can scratch the back of my head. He made my finger to do that. Amen. There's parts of our bodies that do certain specific things that other parts of our bodies can't do. You can do things I can't do, and maybe I can do things you can't do, or maybe you can do a whole bunch of things that I can't do. But the Bible tells us when everybody does their part, that it causes growth of the body. When we all do our part, it causes the edifying, the growth of itself, the body of Christ. It causes not only numerical growth, it causes love, it causes it to reproduce itself. And I can't help but believe when we faithfully obey God's commands that He will multiply those in the church. He will multiply it in number. He'll multiply it in fellowship. He'll multiply it in peace. He'll multiply it in the fear of the Lord. And He'll also multiply it in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Man, my challenge to you today is simply this. Decide today to be a person whose primary mission is the Great Commission. That your primary motive for life, your primary motive for living and for living for the Lord is to tell others about Jesus. But what if I offend them? Can I tell you the worst way you could offend me? As if I was lost and I didn't know I was lost and I'm going to hell and I'm standing up there with you at the judgment throne of God and I look over to you and say, why didn't you ever tell me? Why didn't you tell me how I could be saved? I can't remember who said it now. How much more do you have to hate somebody than to not tell them what you believe? I believe it was that big guy with Penn and Teller. How much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them what you believe? Man, if we would all just be people of the Lord and people of the Word of God, we say we believe it. If we believe it, how are we responding to it? You decide today what you want to be. You decide what you're going to do. Maybe you're sitting here today and saying, I've never trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe today you need to be the one who is under conviction and you need to make that decision to follow Christ. But I could probably bet there's more of us here that already know we're on the way to heaven. But we would have to admit, Lord, I haven't been doing what I've been called to do. I'm not doing what I have been commanded to do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to get right with God. Amen. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We stand with you.